The final speaker for this session is Dr. Zhongli He, and his talk is entitled Soil Phosphatase and Urease Activities Impacted by Cropping Systems and Water Management.
Okay. So first of all, I change the title a little bit to stress this two types of enzymes in the potato fields. Okay. You may know or may not know, anyway, potato is a major cash crop in Maine, so that our laboratory has launched a crop rotation project to evaluate the relative importance of the factors affecting the potato yield and the qualities. In this product, there are five production systems with or without irrigation. The first one is a long rotation, continuous potato control. The second one is a steady crop potato barley, 2-year rotation. The third one is a potato disease suppressive system with mustard green manure in year one, Sudan grass green manure with followed by winter rye in year two, and the potato ground in year three. The fourth one is a soil conserving system with barley under city with Timothy in year one, Timothy sod in year two, potato ground in year three, with mulch covering after harvest. The last one is a soil improving system, which is basically same to the soil conserving system, but farmyard compost has been added to this field each year. This crop rotation project is a teamwork. My research interest is in the soil chemistry and the biochemistry, so that I measured the phosphatase activities and the urease activity in this field. We measured the three phosphatase activity, acid alkaline phosphatase activity, and phosphodiesterase activity. The urease activity was measured on buffer conditions and at pH line, which is the optimal pH for urease activity. For this experiment, those soil samples were collected in May 2007 after the end of the first round of the 3-year rotation. The top 20 centimeter soils were collected and kept at 4 degrees with field moisture condition and air use. Generally, that time is about 6 months to 1 year. And there are 5 field replicates for each system or treatment. Here are the data of soil phosphatase activity in the rain-fed field. So from this figure, we can say the pattern or the profile of distribution of those three types of enzymes are basically same in the 5 fields. That is, the lowest activity is with the continuous potato system. The highest activity is with the soil improving system. The enzyme activities in other three rotation systems are basically in the same level, but with some minor change. But it is higher than that of continuous potato system. So all the four crop rotation system increase the phosphatase activities, and the relative impacts are higher for the alkaline phosphatase and the phosphodiesterase activity shown by those higher bar compared to those four. But the specific activity is higher for the iSight phosphate activity. So that's 0.69 milligram nitrophenol per kilogram dry soil released in 1 hour, compared to the 0.21 for both alkaline phosphatase and the phosphodiesterase activity. So this slide is showing the data of phosphatase activity in the irrigated fields. Again, we saw the lowest activity is with the continuous potato system, and the highest activity is with the soil improvement system. For in this irrigated field, we saw also relatively high alkaline phosphatase activity and phosphodiesterase activity for the disease suppressive systems. Also, the this profiling of the enzyme in the five fields are more similar between those two, for these two enzymes, so, than to the iSight phosphatase distribution in these five systems. So we further calculated difference in those activities between the irrigated and the rain-fed samples, shown to evaluate the effect of irrigation. So the impact by irrigation very consistently in the five fields. So we just say the pattern, maybe the trend, because like here we say the irrigation negatively impact the iSight phosphatase activity in all the five fields, even though the degree or extent of the impact are different. This impact is relatively small for the soil conservation system. Also, irrigation more or less positively impacted the alkaline phosphatase activity in all the five fields right here, and positively impacted the phosphodiesterase activity shown right here. Then for the soil urease activity in the rain-fed field, we saw the lowest activity again with a continuous potato system, and the highest activity is with the soil improvement system, either measured under unbuffered conditions or at a buffered pH line. Also, this distribution pattern also looks like the more or less similar, but the extent of the increase by the crop rotation are different if measured under unbuffered condition or buffered condition. Say this difference is bigger between this one to compared to the continuous potato, but this relatively low, but those are higher, but this low. In the irrigated fields, however, first we still say the low activity with the soil improvement system, but the highest activity is not with the soil improvement system. If this activity measured on the unbuffered conditions, the highest activity is with the soil conservation system or all this with the disease suppressive system. So this slide is more clearly to show the effect of irrigation. Irrigation positively impact the soil urease activity in all five fields, either measured on the unbuffered conditions or buffered conditions, right here. And the extent of the impact are different, again, among the five fields. And interesting, the least increase is with a Sawyer improving system, Xiang, right here. Or even this one is still low. And the highest increase is with a Sawyer consumer system. We also measure Sawyer microbial biomass carbon in these five fields with or without irrigation. In the rain-fed fields, the Sawyer microbial biomass carbon increase in the order from continuous potato to dead crow potato body to the Sawyer conservation system to the disease suppressive with the highest activity with Sawyer improvement system. In the irrigated fields, however, we saw the Sawyer microbial biomass carbon basically in the same level for the first four production system. Actually, maybe there are a little bit decrease of the microbial biomass carbon for the three crop rotation system. We just increase of the microbial biomass carbon with the soil improvement system. So this slide is showing the relative potato tuber years in 2006 after the end of the first round of the 3-year rotation. The potato tuber years increase in the rain-fed fields from continuous potato to Sawyer conservation system to statistical potato body to disease suppressive system and soil improvement system. Irrigation increased potato tuber years in four of the five fields, so that's the continuous potato, potato body, disease suppressive, and the soil improvement system. So this pattern increase are similar to this one. Just, however, we do not see the increase of the protective year in the soil conservation system compared this to basically in the same level. So we further quantitatively analyze the correlationships between those soil phosphatase activity, urease activity, microbial carbon, and the protective years. For those rain-fed fields data, these coefficients values are quite high. They are higher or greater than 0.8, and all of them are statistically significant at least alpha equal to 0.1. From this last row, we can say the protective year is correlated with microbial carbon level and the phosphatase activity and the urease activity. The best correlation coefficient is 0.97 with the urease activity measured under buffered condition or at pH line. For the correlation coefficients of those irrigated field data, the values are quite low, not good. We just say two statistically significant coefficients. One is 0.947 between alkaline phosphatase and phosphodiesterase activity. And another one is 0.821 between acid phosphatase activity and urease activity measured under unbuffered conditions. It seems the factor of water or irrigation differentially and overwhelmingly influence those biochemical parameters, made them not correlated anymore in those rain-fed fields, no, irrigated fields. So come to the conclusion crop rotation practice increase both soil phosphatase and urease activities. The greatest increase was observed in soils with soil improving practice. Irrigation impact all enzyme activities we measured. Isophosphatase phosphatase activity was negatively impacted by irrigation. Other enzyme activity were increased by irrigation. The perturbed tuber year in rain-fed fields was correlated with soil enzyme activities and microbial biomass carbon. So that's the end of my talk.
We can open it up for questions. We can start with the last speaker and then go on to the others. If well, I have one question. Why do you think the acid phosphatase was decreased under irrigation?
I think maybe there are two reasons. One is pH change. I didn't present on that. The pH in the rain, in the irrigated fields raised about a little bit than the rain-fed fields. Maybe from average 6 to 6.2 or 6.4, but that's not another thing. Because I also see more correlation between the alkaline phosphatase and the phosphodiesterase activity. Maybe isolate phosphate is more from the planted root. But hard to explain if with this hypothesis.
Any other questions for any of the speakers this afternoon? Can everybody hear? Much come up.
Yeah.
Phil, yeah. Well, you can both come up.
Okay, the question was a good one. I'm not sure the answer will be. The question was, can we be sure that the mineralization of organic matter is not really under enzymic control? Is that more or less the question? Or in particular...
Do you have evidence to show that it's not under enzymic control?
No, I think logically it's difficult to imagine it's under enzymic control. If you fumigate the soil, certainly the extracellular, the enzymes in the biomass are destroyed. I mean, that's clear. Yes, mineralized. They're protein. So to another organism, they're the same as any other protein. So they will be mineralized. Now, the other fraction is stabilized enzymes. Stabilized enzymes on soil organic matter. But it's very difficult to imagine something as complicated as soil organic matter being broken down by a single enzyme. It would take many steps. And they're not organized steps. Organophosphate, I could understand, because it's a COP. It's very simple. But something like humified organic matter, no.
But I guess my related question would be, is that small microbial community that survives fumigation, does it just have the same mix of extracellular enzymes that are produced to put it on the same rate?
Well, we don't know that.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, just as an explanation.
But I can't... It's a difficult question to answer. I can't see it's extracellular. If you consider the small recolonizing population, if it produces enzymes, why doesn't the larger population produce a lot more and so accelerate the rate? That's what I don't get.
Maybe they don't need
it. Well, they do, because if you give them more substrate...
What about the fungi? I couldn't remember how your fungi data came. Didn't you have some...
We had...
Is there any difference there? I mean,
there was decreased fungi in the... Fungi or fungi? I never know. There was decreased fungi.
Say fungi.
Yeah, okay, tomato and tomato.
Right,
the fungal population was decreased greatly by fumigation.
Mm-hmm. But what is it in the small in the fumigated soil? Is it changing drastically on a ratio basis?
Well, yes, it is changing drastically, and it's also much more tends towards the pseudomonads, which is a population that goes very much for labile material, not humified soil organic matter. So we really do have two very different populations with quite different biochemical properties. And yet they're both mineralizing the same fraction. That's the question, really. Now, you don't really believe me, do you?
No, we don't.
No?
We can't let you go all the way back. No problem. Now, you showed that you had a fumigated biomass that was down here going along steady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which by definition means the CO2, which you're saying they're the same, by definition that's just maintenance CO2. So there has to be a difference in the maintenance of either population or the yield per unit biomass.
It's certainly not maintenance. I said before, if you incubate a soil in the lab at 25 degrees, the biomass will slowly decline.
But your biomass didn't.
Well, that was only 60 days. But give it longer, it will go.
But for 60 days, the CO2 was the same, yeah. The biomasses were different.
Yes.
So by definition, that's still maintenance in 60 days. That is pumping out on day 60.
Well, they're both mineralizing the same source. But they're both capable of mineralizing more. If you add glucose to either population, they will mineralize that glucose. So they have more metabolic activity than they are using.
So you're saying what's coming out of the gate's the same?
Yeah. It's coming out the same to the same two populations. And if you let Jenkinson labeled a soil in the field for years and measured this label coming out from the fumigated soil and the non-fumigated, and it was the same specific activity.
Well, then there could be difference in enzymes. That just goes against enzyme kinetics. If you're saying the biomass is the enzyme that runs the thing, you got one up here and one down here, but the same CO2.
But there's no doubt about that. I mean, we may not understand what's going on, but there is no doubt that the CO2 coming from the fumigated and non-fumigated soils are coming at the same rate.
Okay.
I mean, you must have done that experiment. Everybody has. Whether or not we understand it is the question.
No, I think we understand. It just goes against the enzyme kinetics.
Well, you better tell that to the organisms. Hello, Elder.
I'm enjoying this. I'm listening quietly.
All right.
Well, you're right. We don't understand it.
Well, I think if you accept my lecture, we have the answer, but I'm not sure even I accept that. Not totally. It's something... They're both looking at the same fraction of carbon. That I'm sure of. How they get at it is another question.
Well, I'm not concerned with the gate. Once it gets out of the gate, I'm concerned with...
Yeah, but is the gate real? I mean, I don't know. It fits the observations. It's the best one we've got at the moment. But whether it stands up to the test of time, I don't know.
Good.
I don't think you mean that.
So. What you're pointing out here is really interesting. But the question to me is, does it only apply to a particular laboratory method for measuring microbial biomass, or can we really extend it to the real ecology of the system, which is what your talk was trying to do?
That's a really good question.
I can't come up with an argument why it doesn't apply, but I'd love to, because it would eliminate this whole problem. And I'm wondering if other people have.
Well, one of the criticisms we had was from Patterson in soil biology and biochemistry, and he pointed out that we're only looking at bulk soil, where there are no inputs from plants or anything else. So in some ways, that's not unrealistic in soil because carbon inputs are fairly low. But he's a great man for priming effects. And I'm not so sure about that, but he is. And this theory doesn't fit priming effects too well. So there's more behind it than this, I think. And that's why I'm keen that Patterson is going to work with us to look at the plant side of it, because this is bulk soil. Once you start putting substrates in, I think it's different. But I think this underpins. I mean, this process is going on in nature, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. Reasonable. Well, it must be.
I can't say why it isn't. I guess
well, mineralization is. Yes.
From the total community.
Yes.
And trying to use that to explain a mechanism going on in natural soils.
Well, I can't. Most experiments take things to the extreme, and that's how we test a system. I'm sure the observation is correct that the two populations are producing CO2 at the same rate. If they are, it asks a very fundamental question that. We can't really answer. I've done my best, but I'm sure there's more to it than this. Thanks. I'm with you, too.
All right, okay. If there's no other questions,
thanks.
We're adjourned. Thank you
Thank
for coming.
Thank you very much.